Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we've been talking about for the last week or so, Joe Biden has come out with a manufacturing plan that a lot of people are saying, hey, it's a good start. And I said from the beginning, it's a start. It's definitely not the end of the road. And I think hopefully, as I've been saying for months, hopefully this is a moment where Joe Biden realizes that his original statement of China is not a problem is a problem. And that they actually come forward with an idea of, you know, how we claw those jobs back, you know, a couple of decades of surrender and actually rebuild our manufacturing prowess. And here to share some thoughts on the Biden plan, I've asked Owen Hernstadt to come talk with us. Owen is the Director of Trade and Globalization with the Machinists Union. Owen, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, absolutely, Rick. Glad to be here.
So let's jump right in with Biden's plan. You know, been talking about it for a couple of days. I've said it's a start, definitely not the end of the road. Curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's more than a start, Rick. I think it's a refreshing a way to go about this. You know, we've been talking for a long time about the need to have a comprehensive, and underline the word comprehensive, manufacturing policy in this country that's not only going to put people back to work, but it's going to put people back to work in the future and drive our economy forward and rebuild this middle class that's been so put out over the past years, particularly over the past couple months on it. And the Biden plan, I've looked at it, the Biden plan coordinates policies in trade, in investment, in financing, in energy, in trying to get rid of these corporate taxes that actually give a break to these corporations so that they can send our jobs overseas. And it looks at government procurement, trying to make Buy American actually mean what it says it's supposed to do, at least what those who enacted it way back in the Great Depression meant for it to do, and that is buy products that are made by Americans here at home on that. And it's got labor law reform on it, again, trying to give workers the fundamental right to choose whether or not they want a union, and if they do, to negotiate a collective bargaining that's going to better their lives and better their families' lives. So it's got all the bells and whistles. I mean, of course, it's a start. There are other things in it that could go through as well.
Now, you know, I've been saying, you know, since 2008 that, you know, we need a new deal, another FDR. Is this Biden's FDR moment, or is this, you know, is this Biden responding to the moment, or is this who Biden is?
Well, I mean, look, it looks like he's put his name on it, so I'm going to guess this is who Biden is. You could call it his FDR moment. We'll have to see how it's implemented, and we'll have to see it in practice. You know, it's a long, torturous path from one laying out their vision to actually getting something done. But this is promising. It's refreshing. It's one of the best things I've seen a candidate actually put out. For example, he's got a plan to tighten up Buy American. You know, I think most folks out there would be shocked that Buy American requirements can be met if as little as 51% of that good, that material, that whatever, is actually made here in the U.S. That's shocking. And the Biden plan acknowledges that, but it goes a little bit further on that, actually a lot further. It talks about how that 51% is going to be calculated to take away all that game playing that can occur when companies try to add things like, I don't know, the value of intellectual property rights into figuring out how much domestic value is in there. You know, that dilutes the real domestic content. So it looks to tighten that stuff up. It looks to put uniform rules out between agencies. And, you know, once and for all, it really looks like it's moving fast towards closing all those loopholes that are in waivers where a federal agency can bypass Buy American for a number of rules, and it takes those seriously. That's just one element of it.
Right.
There are other things in there as well.
No, and it's extremely important. And for me, as I was reading through some of it, it started to look like maybe, I'm not saying we're there, but maybe we were going to start looking at manufacturing the way the Chinese do. And I know you know that China has its 2025 plan where it's looking at aeronautics, robotics, pharmaceuticals, AI, you name it. They've got a plan on how to capture it from us for themselves. And this maybe is, in my view, a way of maybe how we keep our technology advantage and how we keep the entrepreneurial spirit here in the U.S. instead of allowing it to be stolen and outsourced and sold to the Chinese government.
Yeah, precisely. There's a thing in there about $300 billion for innovation and research to develop new technologies and then new industries that are there. To spread that around from rural areas to urban areas to all sorts of communities on that. The kicker here that Biden's got in this plan is he wants to keep the manufacturer of those products that are made from those new technologies here at home so we don't lose something we helped develop like semiconductors, which now are practically done in China. And very little are done here at home.
Right.
He's got $400 billion to rebuild our infrastructure, to repair our bridges, our railways, our roads, and to modernize our buildings using, you guessed it, U.S. labor and the products that U.S. labor will need to supply to make sure that infrastructure gets done. It's $400 billion worth.
No, and most certainly, I've always been a supporter of domestic production, domestic consumption. You build what you need, you trade for what you can't produce. And the reality is there isn't a lot that we can't produce. And this is one of these moments where I think this virus has highlighted just how dependent we are on China and how it was a slow kind of creep thing. Whereas I've been saying for years, we're at war. And maybe you'll agree or disagree, but this is a war kind of scenario here where they're literally buying us up piece by piece, boxing up factories and moving them over to China. And they've been doing it for years. It's only now because of this moment, this crisis, that we finally have been shaken awake.
Yeah, but it's not just China. We're finding out our critical supply chains extend around the world and they extend to Mexico. I think it was early on in the pandemic, our Defense Department, one of the officials in our Defense Department noted with alarm that some of our defense supplies were stuck in Mexico because, of course, the factories weren't working there. Unfortunately, it seemed the Defense Department, at least this official, seemed to be saying the need was to open up those factories in Mexico at any cost, as opposed to reversing that supply chain and making sure we're not reliant on Mexico. In addition, I might add, there also seemed to be kind of a cold-hearted wish there. No workers, whether they're in the U.S., or Mexico or Canada or anywhere else in the world should have to risk their lives going to work, particularly if they don't have the proper personal protective equipment.
Right.
There isn't testing and sanitizing.
Right. But, you know, and again, I make a very different distinction between the communist government of China and the workers of China, because I think on some level, there's got to be solidarity across borders between working people, because ultimately, in my view, and you can agree or disagree again, the Chinese government is the bad actor here, not the poor workers who are put into some of these horrible conditions.
Yeah, Rick, I mean, fundamental human rights, like the fundamental human right, you know, for dignity on the job, to work in a safe workplace, to be able to join a real union, one that represents you, and to be able to negotiate for a better way of life, better wages and benefits. They're as equally applicable to workers in China as they are to the U.S., as they are in Mexico and European Union and all over. I couldn't agree with you more on that.
So how is this plan that Biden has come forth, how is this plan different than what Donald Trump has put forward? Because Trump in 2016 made China the center of his campaign. He was going to bring back all those jobs. He was going to rebuild our infrastructure. He was going to rebuild our manufacturing prowess. He was going to bring back the good old days. It was going to be the 1950s again. We were going to be like the bridge in Trenton, New Jersey says, Trenton makes, the world takes. That hasn't happened. So how is this different from what Trump was doing?
Well, it's different in a lot of ways. One, it's realistic. Two, it's comprehensive, as I mentioned. And three, it's got all the bells and whistles where the plan we've seen from the current administration doesn't. Let me give you an example. You talk a lot about China. I think we all agree, and the Machinist Union has been one for enforcing our trade rules with China for many, many years. But you have to give thought to tariffs before you put them on a country like China. You can't set up tariffs by tweet. It takes really good thought. You also need to combine it with other areas, like, for example, the corporate tax policy, which actually encourages companies to outsource work on it. There's a bunch of other things that come into play here as well, and none of those have really been addressed. We've heard a lot about, Defense Procurement Act coming in. But we haven't really seen it used under this administration. If you're not going to use it now in the war against COVID, I don't know when you're going to use it. We still have lacks of tests out there and other things that could be used under that. The Biden plan takes all of that into account, and it's even got some stuff in here that's absolutely great, like a clawback. For example, if a company takes a tax benefit, promising that it would create jobs here at home and doesn't do it. Now, there's language in here about getting a clawback in it. There's language about the currency manipulation or undervalue that goes on, particularly with respect to China. None of these have been effectively addressed by this current administration. Once again, you're not going to bring back manufacturing policy by tweeting at 3 o'clock in the morning. It takes good, well thought out ideas, and these ideas need to be coordinated throughout federal agencies, and we need to engage unions and businesses in partnerships to make sure we can get the job done and get it done right. Because right now, Rick, as you know, we've got millions and millions and millions of manufacturing workers that are out of work, as well as workers in the service sector and all the other sectors of the economy. We can't sit back anymore. And this Biden plan is a great start to make sure that we can build into the future.
And the other thing, the last thing I want to say about the Biden plan, in my view, and again, you can agree or disagree, is that I think Biden will take a global approach to engage our allies as where Trump has gone with this go it alone approach, which has kind of left us isolated even from our allies, which I think is the worst way to go about this.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, when you're taking on China, it's really tough to take them on alone, because you know what? If you take them on alone, it means your businesses and your workers are going to lose the sales, right, that those in Europe might get because they're not taking them on. And that's why when you take on China, you need your allies and you need to work with other countries to make sure that we can stop China once and for all from forcing the transfer of production and technology and our jobs to them in return for a sale. But you need help with our allies to get that job done.
There you go. Now, you brought up, obviously, the large number of unemployed. At the end of this month, the $600 federal subsidy for unemployment benefits goes away. Expect, you know, as I've been saying on the program for a while, expect mass numbers of people falling into poverty, all of the horrible things that are going to come, the foreclosures, people being evicted from their rentals, lots of bad things, because unemployment insurance has never covered the lost wage. It's about 40 to 45% of lost wages. Nobody can live on that. Do you see Congress doing anything? Do you see when they get back, as they're back, do you see the Republicans in the Senate, I guess, because I know Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats have moved forward on the HEROES Act. What do you see coming?
Well, I think Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, and the other Democrats got a bill passed through the House, the HEROES Act, which does just that. What you said, it extends unemployment, but it does a lot of other things. It gives a lot of money to states and cities which desperately need it to keep people working. On that as well, I think it's absolutely shameful that the Senate has not done anything with it yet. And I think it's shameful when people talk about cutting off unemployment to try to force people to go back to work. And I have one question for them. Go back to work where? There aren't any jobs out there. How tough is it for them to see what you and I and the millions of Americans who are filing for unemployment are seeing every day, and the fears and the stress they're having on their lives?
Yeah, I mean, this again, I don't have great faith in this administration. I don't have much hope in the Republicans in the Senate. So am I, I guess the question I keep coming back to is, you know, how do we make sure that something gets through? Because, you know, it seems to me that no one seems to care about elections anymore. I'm curious your thoughts. How do you get this pushed through? Because, you know, I've got a senator here in Pennsylvania.
I think what you do is you make sure everybody votes is one, and you make sure everybody has the right to vote and they don't get stopped at the polls. I think you look at serious things like mail balloting, particularly during this COVID, so that folks have the freedom that our country was established on, and that is to vote. And that there are no more games playing with the right to vote, and we stop all this nonsense of this all this terrible voter suppression that's going on it, and we get the message out, and the message is a clear one. You know, we got to put America back to work.
There you go. Last question I've got for you. I know you've got members in Maine who are on strike this evening. What's going on there?
We got about 4,300 machinist members out on strike at Bath Shipyards in Bath, Maine. They're striking over the company's demand to outsource their work and outsource their work subcontracted out of state, to have out-of-state folks come in on that. And our members in these very, very, very dangerous times are going out on strike because they know how critical it is to not only protect their job, but to protect their jobs of their brothers and sisters on this.
Yeah, this is one of those moments. Is this an opportunity, a moment where the company sees an opportunity to slash wages and benefits and all of that? How's this playing out?
Well, it's really over the outsourcing issue, but, you know, Rick, I'll leave that to your own conclusion on why a company would force 4,300 people out on strike during a pandemic.
Yeah, no, excellent point. Well, I wish them the best. One day longer. Owen, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Thanks so much for your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff, as always. Owen Hernsted, he's the Director of Trade and Globalization there with the Machinist Union, International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Worker. Love to hear your thoughts. Do you think the Biden plan's gonna help? Do you think that the Trump supporters will look at it? I'm curious your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.